That's all I want to say. Like, that's that little story. So here are two sisters. There's Sarah and there's Lorna. Sarah came to what you'd call the very dangerous doorway, the animal doorway. And that isn't just a doorway outside us. Like, that is a doorway inside us. You know, that is a doorway within the psyche, the animal nature within us all. She came to that that doorway, and Sarah, who wasn't afraid, who hadn't been taught to fear the universe, either to fear herself or to fear people or to fear the world, when she came to that dangerous doorway, she eased the pouring black tail aside and walked under animal nature in us, and stood between the hind legs and under the belly of animal nature in us, and stood between the forelegs and walked under the head with its teeth of the mare, bringing her teddy bear, you know, into my house, and then asked for a civilized cup of tea, not hot, nice and warm. Now, I think most of us are aware that such a doorway exists within us, that there is animal nature in us, and most of us, when we come to it, back away, you know, and we spend maybe the rest of our lives being out there on the run, just to be on the run, you know. You're out there on the run just to be on the run. I think there's some pop song called that, or whatever it is, you know. So I'm just saying, like, that most of us are so frightened of a certain kind of menace, menace from within. We are threatened or menaced from within our own nature, or some of us are anyway, at some stages in our lives. And we're so frightened by this because we can't figure it out. We haven't metaphors for it very often. We haven't images for it. We haven't holy ground on which to let it happen to us. So very often most of us run away from it, and then we become a butcher or a baker, a candlestick maker, or we become a TD, and we make sure, like, that I'm going to be so busy for the rest of my life, like, that I'm never again going to have to face this. Do you know what I mean? So little Sarah came to that dangerous doorway and came through it without panicking the horse. Little Lorna was menaced also from within. She was menaced from within her nature. Now, her way was to cut out the offending member, to take out the brain and put it there on the table beside the shriveled apple, the wrinkled, shriveled, dried up apple. Now, I think most of us in the course of our life, instead of going Sarah's way, we go Lorna's way in order to cope with our humanity and to cope with the world around us. And William Blake has said, like, if you talk about the world around us, and he has talked about the roaring of lions and, what is it, the howling of wolves, the raging of a stormy sea, and the destructive sword are portions of eternity too great for the mind of humanity. It might be there are portions of ourselves that are too great for us to cope with. Do you know what I mean? And what we do is we run, and we make ourselves small. Now, one of the themes in this poem is that, in these poems, is that we have, the assumption in a lot of the poems is that we have made ourselves small, and that we must somehow or other, being small isn't the answer, because to make yourself small, to cut out the offending member and make yourself small, isn't the way that's going to succeed. You leave a root behind, and that root becomes much more poisonous. And I'm a gardener, and I know when you cut a fine briar, like, cut it down to the root, and it comes up the next year, it's infinitely more thorny the second year than it was the first year. You know what I mean? So by performing a lobotomy on ourselves, remember in the last century, if someone had a nervous breakdown or a psychiatric breakdown, what we tended to do, or what in some cases would happen, is that they would cut out the offending member, they would cut out a lobe of the brain. Now, cutting out a lobe of the brain meant very often that they destroyed the human being. Do you know what I mean? So what these poems at that age of my life are searching for is the sanctity of inclusion and integration, and not the sanctity of exclusion and repression. You know, can we in any way walk Sarah's way instead of walking Lorna's way? It is extremely dangerous to walk Sarah's way. It is extremely dangerous, like, to ease that tail aside and to walk between the hind legs of animal nature in you. It is extremely dangerous to do it, but it is also, I think, it is a risk to do it. It is also a risk and extremely dangerous to go Lorna's way. I'm not saying that Lorna now is going, that has continued to go that way. That was one night in Lorna's life. So the premise I think we would start from is a sense that we are menaced or threatened from within our own nature, that there's more in there that we can cope with, that there's more in there, I suppose, than we can handle on any one day, or that our neighbour than our neighbours can handle. So we tend to wear a tourniquet and to keep out all of that side of our life. So this is, I suppose, you know, basically the set of assumptions from which a lot of these poems happen. Is that all right? Like, you know, yes. They're an attempt to walk. can we safely walk Sarah's way instead of maybe going Lorna's way? So could we maybe start with a poem called In Buddha's Footsteps? I'll explain to you why Buddha and not Jesus, or why Buddha and not Lao Tzu, why Buddha and not, you know, afterwards. So can I just maybe the best thing to do is just read it, and we'll go through it then.